buckle up!
It's showtime. It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Matinee Talk. I am one of your hosts, Johnny Lightfoot, with me as always,
Julian Owens.
Today's a very special episode. Today's going to be the first time we've ever done back-to-back episodes week to week as opposed to our normal just every other week, because we have a very special episode today. We're going to talk mostly about Battle Angel Alita, or Alita Battle Angel now as the film's called. But first, Julian, what do we got with the box office?
So with this, we got three new entries in the top five for box office this past weekend. So number one, which I thought was going to take it, was Lego Movie 2, the second part, with $34.4 million in its opening weekend.
So the only thing with that one, that's half of what the first one made in its first weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So I think that's the whole no Lord and Miller there might be hurting it a little bit.
Me, personally, I also think it is also due to the fact that, again, February is almost like your dump months for all the movies that you don't see being bankable as much. Because, like, let's think about it. Like, Lego Movie came out in the summer
of February.
No, it really did come out in February?
Yep.
Oh, well, never mind. I'm sorry. It must be Lord and Miller not being in it. Okay.
February 2014.
Wow. Well, that sucks. I'm sorry.
All right, next.
Next is What Women Want with Taraji P. Henson. It's $19 million in its opening weekend as well with a budget of $20 million, so almost made its money back. Cold Pursuit also did $10.8 million for number three. Then you got Upside and Glass rounding out for four and five, with Upside with $7.2 million and then Glass with $6.4 million. And domestically, both of them are almost neck and neck with each other. $98 million for Glass and $85 million domestically for The Upside.
Sounds about right. You've got your thriller action movie and then you've got your comedy.
Of course. So, yeah, that rounds up all top five for the box office this weekend.
It's very cool. So, not much with the news. So, today we're mainly going to focus on Alita Battle Angel. So last week, Julian, what did we partake in on Wednesday and Thursday?
So for sure, Wednesday, we went to this thing called Passport the Iron City here in Austin. Basically, it's an interactive game world that we can do like for 40, 45 minutes here in Austin, where basically you're in teams. You're trying to learn different stories, different things, learn trivia about Alita's world and things of that nature. As you're doing that, you're racking up points, and basically the team with the most points wins, like, a coin to Zalem, or just a lucky coin that all of y'all could spare. Not being in the world, per se, and not really reading the manga. And
I hadn't either.
Right,
both of us were kind of blind going in.
Yeah, we both were blind going in. I did it because I'm a huge Robert Rodriguez fan, and I was really
thrilled. Was a lot of fun. I know I didn't expect that the first, I guess, 45 minutes to hour, we were supposed to be, like, working.
Yes.
And we didn't figure that out until, like, 30 minutes in, that we need to be, like, working with our team and, like, trying to figure stuff out. But it was still fun. The games, a lot of it was very escape room with, like, the time limit and everything.
Yep.
But they had a lot of varying degree. Like, some of it was trivia, and then some of it was, like, how quickly you can do certain tasks. And then the one we did best at was, like, the finding the bounty hunters on, like, the 8 security cameras,
yep.
And we did really well on that one.
I was just about to say, like, really what I love about this experience was the fact that you could do certain interactions and learn all the activities, but also at the same time, you're supposed to notice certain things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, again, we didn't know this until like 15 minutes before we were supposed to start, that you're supposed to pay attention to details, right? And we didn't know like little details that we needed to know. So like at the end, there's this big motorball where you can bank all of your points to try to get to first place. And literally, we didn't know that Johnny,
that it was rigged. Like you were supposed to know who was winning.
And Johnny had the winner in his car, because they gave you cars like throughout the thing to give you like clues on certain things throughout the activities.
And I just stuffed it in my pocket.
Right. Literally, we all were just like, oh, these are just regular cards. All right, cool. We threw them in our pockets. And literally, Johnny found out later that they gave us clues to who would win in Motorball. So if you needed the help, it was there.
Right there. My card literally told you who was the world champion Motorball player. And I was like, oh, whoops. It was still fun, though. I had a good time. Since we were at the Austin location, they actually still had a lot of the Alita sets up around the studio lots, which was cool to see. And then a lot of the stuff in the Alita experience were props from the film, which was really cool. So it was really cool to be in that world and the Kansas bar, and then you do all these, you know, little treasure hunts, and then some stuff takes, you know, a little bit of physical skill. We had to do like the music one, and it's all reliant on the team. Like you can't just try to go in there and just not talk to anybody and try to make it. Like by like 20 minutes in, we had to be like a unit, and it was basically Julian and I, and then the other three people on our team were just in their own little group, and we had to kind of become a team of one. And it took us like probably two or three challenges before we started working together really well, but it was still fun. I enjoyed it.
I would do it again if it wasn't $55.
Yeah. Luckily, we did the early bird, because if you go after the movie comes out, it jumps up from $25 plus fees.
With $55, so you're looking at about almost 60 bucks for it. But like I said, for the $25, I enjoyed my experience. We both got like pint glasses with
it. Yeah, and they give you like a really cool little ID badge, which we got to keep. Like, it's not just a piece of paper. It's actually like a plastic
card. Like the ones you got in middle school for like your ID badges and stuff like that. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's got your photo on it, but it's all like black and white and kind of fuzzy. Yep. It's pretty cool.
And like afterwards, you got into a collectible shop where you can buy certain things for Alita. So they had a graphic novel for her. They had the first novel of the movie with it as well. You could also buy the mangas. So it was pretty dope. I enjoyed it. I like I said, I would do it again if it wasn't $60.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was pretty fun.
Next up, so the following day, Julian and I got to go to an early screening of Alita with Robert Rodriguez doing a Q&A afterwards. He did like a 30-minute Q&A, which we'll talk about after our review.
So insightful.
Right. Yeah, a lot. Like, we learned a lot, and I hope they at least put half of what he said in the special features in the Blu-ray, but I don't think they will.
That's why I was pretty excited, because most of that stuff is more technical, and I don't think he's really going to talk about that technical aspect of it unless he does a Q&A on YouTube and they put it on there. But yeah, it was pretty insightful.
So off the top, what were a couple things you didn't like about the film?
James Cameron. Like, the thing is I'm kind of perplexed about this situation. Like, what I love about the film has James Cameron's style in it. What I don't like about the film is, again, James Cameron's style. Like, you can tell this is a James Cameron story, James Cameron's feel with it. My biggest problem is like, the story just felt a little too generic, in a sense. In certain parts of it, it felt generic and it felt rushed. And I guess that's due to what we were talking about with Robert Rodriguez later. But that was my biggest problem with the movie. It was just a generic, hey, I don't know who I am, let's learn who I am. Also falling in love, doing stuff like that. So other than that, I was just like, yeah, it's an average story. I mean, it's James Cameron, so that's what my biggest thing was about.
My biggest thing was the boyfriend and the whole love story.
Yes.
Which, apparently, that's a big part in the original story, because I kind of dived into it after we saw the movie and went back and kind of looked at, like, what exactly happened, because I know Rodriguez said this is, like, the first manga plus, like, a little bit of the second and third one mixed in. And so I went back and, like, I didn't read them, but I kind of skimmed over what they were, and apparently he's like a big part of it. And I was like, man, they really should have cast a better actor to play Hugo, the love interest. Because every time he was on screen, and you can tell, like, this isn't a spoiler, you can tell from the trailers, like, some of the scenes he has where he's like, you're the most human person I have ever met. And you're like, bro, really?
And that's what I was going to say.
Because the thing is, she's so good.
I was just about to say, and that's what again is James Cameron all over again. It's like the lead, the female, is a strong female lead, and she kills it, which we'll talk about later. And then everybody around her, especially her love interest, is either watered down or isn't doing a phenomenal job as well as she.
Or he's weak.
Yes.
Or he's very flawed character.
Yes.
Like her, she's willing to do everything to be right, and then like. You find out there are other people around her that are very much so flawed individuals, and so when you put them side by side, you're like, wow, you're such a good person. Yeah. And then all these people around her
are just like,
are not
morally ambiguous, and yeah, it's just like,
they're not bad people. They're not bad, but it's just, they're not, when held to her standard, they're not good.
Right. It's like she's the right way. The right way. She's like the white, and everybody else is like in a gray area, and you're sitting there like, okay, here it goes again. And that's what I mean by, it's like James Cameron, like, he does that a lot in his films, and it's just like, all right, okay. And then another thing I didn't like, speaking on her side act, I mean her co-stars, I felt like nobody else really had that great of screen time. Like, I felt like Mahershala Ali could have been used more. I feel like Jennifer Connelly, she served her purpose, but at the end, something just didn't feel right with her, her resolution, mm-hmm. or her resolve that she comes with. And the only person besides Hugo that got some kind of character arc was Christoph Waltz. But even then, it was just like,
I thought his was okay.
Right,
they gave him just enough. And Cameron wrote his character in a lot more in this than he is once I went back and looked at the character in the anime. Because the character in the anime, he's just the scientist.
That's right. It.
So they gave him a lot more backstory, and then they gave her some more reasons to like want to be close to him. Mm-hmm. And things like that, which I enjoyed, which I didn't know while I was watching the movie, but after going back and doing some research, I was like, okay, like, I like what they did compared to the source material.
Right. And I was just going to say, like, we'll, again, discuss this later in the podcast, but, like, James Cameron gave it more of an emotional feel and more of a ground feel of it. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem for me. I think personally, if James Cameron were to make this, it would have been a 3-hour film where we would have got every mm-hmm. nook and cranny that he was looking for. It's just because they wanted to cut it down to right over 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Right over 2 hours. I think you're missing a lot of character development and a lot of more emotional stuff that we needed to like basically get to the end that we got. But other than that, that's why I was like, I'm not mad, but that's my biggest gripe with the movie. That's my biggest gripe with it.
Okay. My and then not really a biggest gripe, but another thing, kind of you alluded to it a little bit, but Mahershala Ali was wasted.
Yes.
His character essentially was there to be a puppet.
Yep.
He had nothing to do except for be the guy at the top of the tower who told the grunts what to do, and then every now and then the big bad guy, who we don't know who he is until the end, would use him as a puppet. And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler, because you see that in the trailers when his eyes turn blue and he starts talking. That was bothersome to me. The Connelly stuff, it bothered me at first, but then after going back to the source material, that character doesn't really have much to do to begin with. They actually gave her a lot more to do in the movie. Really? And I think the only reason why is because it's Jennifer Connelly. Because
right.
That character in the manga and anime, she has very little to do other than, like, she just helps soup up the bad guy's armor because she wants to go back to Zalem. Okay. She has no other purpose. Like, she's just a scientist. That's it.
And then the other thing is, I was just about to say, so her character, Christoph Waltz, really didn't even have a child, if I...
In the manga, they had no relation.
Right, that's what
I figured. Other than the fact they were both scientists from Zalem. They know who each other are, but it's not like in the film where they have a past.
Right. That's what James Cameron added in there. Okay. That's what I figured. All right. So, all right. That's fair.
All right. And then best parts, things you liked a lot.
The CGI.
Yes, I 100% agree.
Like, at first, you could, if you look at my videos on Stage 3 about 2 or 3 months ago, yes, I did say I did not like this movie because the CGI just looked a little weird, and Alita's eyes just looked way too damn big for what they needed to be, which we'll put a pin in that, talk about that later.
The CGI. And the reason why the CG in the trailers doesn't look that great, we found out that
in a pod, I mean, later in James Cameron's Q&A as well, which, again, mind blows me. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, the CGI looks amazing. It's phenomenal. You actually, deep inside the world, you look, everything looks surreal. Not surreal, but it looks realistic.
You can't tell the set pieces from the CG at all.
No. And that's what I loved about it, and it was really damn good. And another thing I was going to say real quick before we round back out was the fact that the like the 3D part of it. We went to go see it in 3D.
Yeah, and when I found out that the passes I got us were for 3D, I was like, oh, man. And then, like, another person was like, why are you complaining? It's like you got invited to a free early screening. I was like, yeah, you're right. And then we go, and I was like, wow. This is some of the best 3D I've seen
since Avatar.
Since Avatar,
and I was just about to say that, like, the 3D experience that I got with this film is just as how I felt when I went to go watch Avatar the very first time.
Like, none of it is gimmicky.
No,
like, it all has a purpose. It looks good. You can tell it was shot in 3D.
Yes, and that's what I loved about it so much. And so that's my biggest thing is the CGI. The 3D, and I would say the action sequences. Oh, and Rosa
Salazar killed it.
Phenomenal job as Alita. Like, I don't, like, there's no other person you could have put in that role to play Alita. Rosa did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and the fact that it's all performance capture, right? So it's not motion capture, it's performance capture. So her whole face, the entire time she's acting, is being monitored by two cameras, not one like they did with Avatar, but two
of them.
And so they're getting every little detail to the point where, like, if after she says a line, she has like a little like side smile or something. And we'll talk about that later with the Q&A where the actress had something to say about the way it was picking up every single detail of her performance. And so her performance was magnificent. Great. Best performance capture outside of Andy Serkis I've seen.
I was just about to say, Andy Serkis still takes the cake. I would put Rosa right under there. It's just, like, I was mind blown by
and
her performance.
I appreciate the fact that she was able to take that title character on, like, a full arc. Going from this girl with no memory who's, like, just super, like, la-di-da, like, trying to learn about the world, to this girl who starts learning about herself and her past just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But because of her innocence, she just wants to help everyone. And, like, anybody who's doing anything bad, she wants to help. Anybody who's innocent, she wants to protect them no matter what, even if it's just a little dog.
I was just about to say, it reminded me of, like, a kid who is just learning about the world and just is like,
that's naive, right?
I wouldn't say naive, but so blissful about everything. And that's exactly what Alita was. And Rosa took that and made that her own. And I really loved that about it. Like,
yeah, and you get to see her go from that to this confident warrior who's willing to protect, to then eventually this symbol for this
symbol
whole,
of hope. Yeah,
this whole people on in the city, to where she's like reaching her potential. And I really hope it does well so we can see what happens next.
I was just about to say, the only other thing, and this is a nitpick, literally a nitpick, is just it sets itself up for future sequels. But again, like, it, like what I feel about a lot of anime / manga adaptations is, like, if you're not doing just one overarching story, like one anime or one manga that has only like 3 books, why not make it seem like it's a continuation? Because literally, like, Alita's story goes to almost like, what, 6 volumes, I want to say? like six books, six or seven, I can't remember. And I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens when she finishes everything and stuff like that. So, yeah, I really do hope this movie does well because, yeah, it was good. It was a, like I was saying on my Twitter, it's a experience that I would recommend watching in the theaters. Like, it was that good.
Oh, yeah. Like, so just scores before we move on to a little spoiler talk. But scores, we both gave it 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 out of 5.
But even though 3.5 for me is sometimes a 3.5, I'll say, you know, rent it.
Yep.
Or see it on Netflix. Usually a 3.5 for me is either a rent it or see a matinee or see it if it's a discount theater or something. But this is a 3.5 where I would say go see it in the theater, see it in 3D, like get mm-hmm. that experience because it is definitely a visually, just stunning a visual film. Experience. And it's very stunning. And as much as we talked about, you know, bad acting from the boyfriend and great acting from Rosa, I thought Christoph Waltz's acting was really good. I really felt his, like, tortured past.
A tortured past.
And he's like a scientist father. Trying to yeah. atone for his things. Sins. And yeah. he wants to help people to the point where he's willing to take payment and, like, fruit to help cyborgs who are being mistreated.
And I was just about to say that. And that's what I appreciated a lot. Like, even though Hugo, I keep forgetting your name, the actor, but like Christoph Waltz, even though Mahershala was in it, bits and pieces, and Jennifer Connelly, everybody else picked up the pieces where Hugo couldn't, and it was pretty good. I enjoyed that a lot. And so, like, the story, the acting is good. Again, picture story is, CGI is amazing, 3D experience, mind-blowing. The only thing before we jump into spoiler territory is, was it just me or like the idea, not the idea, but more of like when they showed more of the motorball sequences, it seemed like they put even more detail in the action sequences. So I'm gonna explain what I'm trying to say. Like from especially Marvel, which is my biggest thing with the MCU, and what I felt was the biggest thing with Black Panther was, when it comes to the action sequences, they try to do more practical and more special and then less special effects. Whereas you could tell, like, there's a difference in CGI. Like, it gets very bad. Like, they lost budget when they were doing the doing the CGI. I didn't feel that way at all in none of the parts. Especially, like, when the bar fight happened, which we'll talk about in a moment. Motorball, none of those moments where I was just like, I was kind of be mad, like, okay, the CGI was great in all these parts, but this bit was just a problem. Mm-hmm. This entire film, like, the CGI looks like it never dropped in the pace or it dropped in the budget. And I think that's due to what we're going to talk about later, which is the same CGI, same visual effects crew that did Alita is going to be doing Avatar 2.
Right.
And I think with that, that's what kind of helped a lot, especially because James Cameron's name on it.
Yep.
James was like, we got to make sure of that.
And essentially, it was a test run for his equipment. Yeah. Because he was using all of James Cameron's cameras for the 3D, all of his cameras for the performance capture. It was all his stuff. And it was like, we'll just let you use it and you can just, we'll see how it does.
And it works.
So moving on to spoilers. So we're going to do to where we're just going to talk about some scenes we really liked where we couldn't really talk about them because they were spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go in first, which is the reveal that Alita is something more than just this cyborg girl. And it's where we first see her following Ito, and he's got this briefcase, and she thinks he's doing bad things, like he's out there trying to hurt people, but then it comes out that he's a hunter warrior, so he's out there trying to protect person, but then it turns out it was a trap, there's these cyborgs trying to kill him, but then Alita comes in to protect, and that's the first time we ever see Alita, like, go off,
yeah,
and it's a short fight scene, but it's, like, her versus, like, basically they kind of stand back, but it's her versus one cyborg, which she like destroys real easily. Then she faced the next one, that spider lady,
which took a little time, but she destroyed her as well.
And then she faces like the big brute, which we see later on, which eventually she wins and he runs away. But I thought that was a really cool scene. And then mm-hmm. it was also a very emotional scene for her, in that she realized that her new father figure is not what she was suspecting.
Right.
Like, he's a hunter warrior. He is a good guy. He's out there trying to do the right thing. But he's doing this also to make money, to help people. Like, all of his money is going to helping these cyborgs who hurt.
Need it. Whereas he was helping, like, scum and people who was trying to do Moneyball. And this is now his way of basically saying, I'm atoning for those sins so I can help the needy, to help the people who needs more of the upgrades, whereas I'm just helping people who trying to win in Motorball. So,
and then that's also where we get the reveal that Alita is more than just this girl.
Yep.
Like, there's something in her that she knows all of this, like 300-year-old like martial art techniques that was thought to be like lost.
And we also find out that from like a very, very quick flashback when she doesn't move, it's like a down kick. She was in this unit called URM that were supposed to take down Zalem, which, again, they don't really talk about as much in the film. But if you read the mangas, there's a reason why they want to take down Zalem.
They're like the most elite fighting force.
Right. And she's from this elite fighting force that basically was supposed to come and take over Zalem. And yeah, and you start seeing like pieces like that goes on throughout the film. This is just the first part where you see that. And it was an interesting way of adding that into the fight, mm-hmm. but it didn't take away from it. Like most people who would do something like that, which was one of my things with Bad Times at the El Royale, is when the kid was about to go and kill all the bad guys with like Chris Hemsworth. It was like a 20-minute back
story this that kind of like, took this away. This was just from like it. Less than 2 minutes,
right? And you were like, okay, I got what I needed. Now it got me right back in the fight. And so I like that about what happened with this film. And so, I would say that was one highlight. And then the bar fight. Again, you see the CGI work really well. And so the big group that was in the first fight came back and was like with better upgrades because of Jennifer Connelly and Mahershala Ali's character, because they're working for some guy who's in Zalem who wants to basically like run the Motorball business, I guess.
Well, Mahershala runs the Motorball, but he kind of fixes it in making sure like no Motorball contestant gets better than who he wants to win.
Right. And he supposed to be the gatekeeper for anybody who wants to go from Iron City to Zalem, which again, I really haven't seen. We didn't really see anybody go to Zalem.
But no. And then like he promises Hugo, like he'll get him to Zalem if he just keeps doing what he's doing. And, yeah. But then he later says it's actually better to be at the top in the Iron City than to be at the bottom in Zalem. Because if you go to Zalem and you're at the bottom, you're essentially a slave.
A slave, basically. And so they talked about that. But the guy gets his upgrades from Mahershala Ali's character, Jennifer Connelly.
Well, before that, she goes to try to enlist people to help her.
I was about to say, while he's getting his upgrades, she's getting enlisted to have Hunter's Warriors help her for her cause and help like stop the guys from trying to kill people. And basically all the Hunter Warriors are like, girl, if you don't get the hell up out of here. And literally the Kansas bar fight is choreographed really, really good. Like some of the people have CGI, others just regular like jacket and some pants and stuff like that. And you can literally see again, what I was talking about. It's just like the fight sequences, you can't really tell which is reality and which one's like CGI. But of course you can, be just because of, you know, people, the motion capture, stuff like that. But if like you were looking at it and you didn't know any better, it looked like they were literally with practical effects fighting each other. And that's what I really, really enjoyed about
it. Well, the other thing with like this scene and then later with the motorball, it would have been really easy given that the cyborgs, like all their limbs and stuff, look really kind of similar to Transformers.
Yeah.
It would have been really easy to get into Transformers territory where you can't tell who is who, what the hell's going on.
Yep.
But this, you can tell every character. You can tell who's what
they're
doing.
This is his detailing in his arm. Hey, this is the detailing in Alita's arm. Like, I love that about it. Yeah, and that's what really, really kept me going about this film. It's like, damn, I haven't seen a great CGI movie like this in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what it feels like. And then she has another flashback when she's fighting the Groot again after basically she whoops almost everybody's ass in the Kansas bar. And what I liked about that part is when they fought, you actually almost felt like Alita was in danger. But of course you knew she was going to get out of it. But like when he cut her, when you thought she was going to do a finishing move to beat the Groot up, it's like, ha, no. She gets clutched by like these little tentacle fingers that he has. And we see that in the film. I mean, we see that in the trailer. And we're thinking, okay, she's about to do a power move. But no, literally the fingers have like razor blades, I would want to say, and cut her up in pieces. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because up until that point, she's been badass the whole time. Yeah. Like nobody's even really gotten a lick on her.
And that was the first time where you're like, oh, okay, she is damaged. And so then that's when we got the upgraded body that we see in the film.
Well, that's really when you also get more of the personal touch that Cameron put with Ito.
Yeah.
Because in the manga, he's just like, oh, no, I need to help bring her back. Whereas this one, it's like his daughter. He treats her as his daughter because that's something Cameron added because Jennifer Connelly and Ito used to be married and they had a daughter who was killed by a cyborg who was on drugs. And then Alita comes along and Ito actually names her after his daughter. So now he's like, oh no, my new daughter might die. So puts her in the new body.
Puts her in the new body. Yep. And so,
and Jennifer Connelly to this point has been telling him to like, stay away. Like you shouldn't have given her our daughter's body, all this stuff. And so the whole time she hasn't really been bad. She's just done bad things.
Yeah.
Because she wants to get back to Zalem, so she's willing to help the bad people to get back there.
And because she's a scientist, that's why she helps with upgrades and things of that nature. And then by the end of the film, literally one moment, which we'll talk about later, I was just like, really? I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand your resolve and your conclusion you got there, but I would want it more from that. But that's another conversation to have. And then my other highlight, I would say, is the motorball scene. Even though we only got, like, what, maybe 5-10 minutes of the motorball scene?
I mean, if you take it from when they also leave the arena as part of the scene, too, because they do chase her out of the arena while she's trying to save Hugo. And the scene itself is gorgeous, like the way they shot it, her moving around, zipping around, everybody's trying to kill her. And, you know, she didn't really have any weapons. She's got to use everything they got against them.
And
it's just a great-looking scene.
It's a beautiful scene. And then, like he was saying, when Johnny was saying, like, when you jump out of the motorball sequence and she has to go find Hugo because Hugo's being hunted down by a hunter killer that got his ass whooped by Alita in the bar scene, like, she's jumping out, going, trying to basically save him while running away from these motorball fighters because they're being paid by Mahershala Ali's character because I keep forgetting his name, Zahn, whatever the guy, the main protagonist, main antagonist name is. He wants Alita destroyed. He wants Alita destroyed and killed. And so he basically gets Mahershala to get all these grunts and these hunter killers and bounty hunters to come and try to kill her while they're in motorball. And it's a very fun scene, seeing all of what they could do, but how, like Johnny just said, how she rips pieces off of him and uses those pieces to take them out, and then when they jump off and start rolling on the rails while she's trying to grab Hugo, it's so beautifully done. I was just like, wow, okay.
It was a really awesome scene. And then From there, we kind of go to the climax, which is another scene where she's kind of like fully, like this is where you see her fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say too much in spoilers. You see these things called sentries in the beginning. And it's pretty much known that you don't mess with these things. They're huge. They got guns and everything on them. They look kind of like they're from Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
And then she just goes in there with the sword and just beats some ass, and it looks beautiful. You've seen a bunch of it in the trailer. Well, not a bunch, but you've seen a little bit.
15 seconds of it, yeah.
But just her going in and wreck shop, and then Mahershala Puppet Ali is in there. And I won't give away any more spoilers in relation to, like, what happens to any of the characters here.
But all I was going to say is basically the movie ends with Alita.
A cliffhanger to, like, Alita the big saying, bad.
I'm coming to Zalem.
Who is standing up on Zalem. And overall, again, 3.5.
Yep. 3.5. I would watch it. I definitely will watch it again. I'm probably going to buy it in 4K when it comes out.
Yeah.
Only thing is, I wish we had 3D TVs again. I wish they were discontinued, because that would be one of those movies I definitely would buy in 3D. Definitely. But can't do anything about that. So, now with that being said, I guess, yeah, Johnny, let's talk about that Q&A that we got with Robert Rodriguez, which almost was the highlight of the night. Because you got so much insight, so much.
Yeah, so for anybody who doesn't know, Alita was actually originally started back in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron started writing his script for Alita in 99 after he finished Titanic. And it was kind of like this story that he really liked and really wanted to do and then just never got around to it. And then him and Rodriguez sitting down over lunch, and he's showing Rodriguez all this Avatar stuff before the first Avatar. And he's like, also, I was working on this thing, Alita. And he shows him this, wow, that's awesome. And then a few years later, he comes back and he's like, hey, what are you doing with Alita? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to start doing these other Avatar sequels. You want it? And then so
Robert Rodriguez takes it, and the rest was history. Let's start with the script first, because this is, like I said, this is my gripe first. And again, knowing, but hearing and seeing things of James Cameron, I can completely see this happening with Robert. So when Robert said, let me go read the script and let me see if I want to take it, basically, James Cameron gave him 186 page script and said, read it. And then he said, you know what? I'm only going to give you 600 notes that I got. I'm not going to give you the 1,000 pages of notes that I got. And Robert Rodriguez, even though you are really, you know Jim, thought he was kidding, and literally looked, and he had 600 notes for the script. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right with James Cameron. He loves being very detailed with his projects. And so he had to cut 186-page script
down to 120.
120. And 20th Century Fox wanted him to do a 2-hour film just because it wasn't James Cameron under the helm. And that's where I was like, I bet in James Cameron's cut, if he ever decided he wanted to redo the film, he had about three hours of content that he could have added to this, or an extra hour of content. And I bet that's where all the character development that we wanted from Jennifer Connelly and Mahershala just was on the cutting room floor. But other than that, like, yeah, he had to cut like I said, for what he had to do for 186 pages and cut those 66 pages out. Okay, I would have done that. Like, wow. I was mind blown. I was like, damn. Okay.
Well, and the fact that he got offered the job and that they were going to pay him, and he was like, no, I'll just work on it over the summer, and just took a bunch of months to just cut it down.
Cut it down, yeah.
And then when he brought it back to John Landau and Cameron, and Landau was like, how did you sweat 66 pages out? He's like, I just did. And then they were reading it, and they were like, oh, you're probably about to cut out my favorite piece here. And he was like,
oh still there.
And then so I thought that was really cool.
I was going to say, that's one thing that I really love. And this is another thing that I was, this is, again, another technical thing that I really love, like what Johnny was about to allude to, is like James Cameron for Avatar basically rigged and built 3D cameras for it. And that is why, to this day, if you go back and watch any 3D film, Avatar is the only one that really looks phenomenal in 3D, because those were actually rigged and built on his cameras that he had. Basically, same concept. James Cameron gave those cameras to Robert Rodriguez to basically film and practice on before he used them for the Avatar sequels. And again, you could tell, like he said, wasn't every scene was filmed on those 3D cameras. Mm-hmm. Everything was filmed on those 3D cameras. The only thing was the performance capture part of it that James Cameron used on Avatar. It was only one screen, and they added the second scene to get more details in the faces and things like that. So that's another like technical aspect that I was just really like interested in, because it's mm-hmm. like, wow, he really, like, the production really, they put a lot of money into production, and I enjoyed that a lot. The only thing is, I just wish that they put more into the, like, promotions and the advertising and stuff like that.
But if I were the studio, I would have put James Cameron's name all over it.
I mean, it has James Cameron's
feel. It just says produced by Cameron. James Cameron.
And they do say producers of Avatar, and on some trailers from over across the country, they're like, I mean, not across the country, from across the sea into UK, most of them say, you know, the producer who is the director of Avatar, Titanic, and things like that. So they try to give it that, oh, this is James Cameron's movie per se, but I don't know. I feel like he could have.
And I really liked what he talked about with James Cameron's guidance while he was both in pre-production and making it, to where Robert Rodriguez has never really made a movie on this scale before.
Nope.
This big, huge spectacle where you're building a world. Robert Rodriguez, all, you know, he was even talking about it where, you know, he does movies where there's guys with guitar cases that have machine guns in them. And he was like, and in his head, it doesn't matter how it works. He was like, it's just cool because it's a machine gun with a guitar case. And then
exactly,
you take an idea like that to James Cameron, and he's like, well, how does it work? Like, how does this work? Like, how do you, like, it doesn't even have to be part of the movie, but James Cameron wants to make everything to where, like, how does it work?
How does it connect? Right.
And then his guidance in just Robert Rodriguez saying, like, there's never been a manga anime done in live action, like, a character like that. Like, we don't know what it's going to look like. And James Cameron having to tell him, like, every time I've ever done a movie like this, like with Terminator 2 or Avatar, I just have to jump in and shoot it with the idea that in the end it's gonna look the way I want it to look. And he was like, that was the hardest thing, was making a movie where I don't know what the final end product is gonna look like.
And that's what I'm sorry, because I'm sitting there like, as somebody who like studied film and who wanted to be a filmmaker, you're sitting there and you're just like, how could you, like, I can't go into a film like that and just be like, all right, I'm going to record this. I have my idea, and I'm going to wing it at the end. I don't, it's crazy to me that he literally is just like, yeah, we're going to film this, and I'm just going to hope that for the best at the end. Like, what? I could understand where Robert comes from that, because I couldn't fathom, hey, we're filming this, and shit, we'll wing it at the end.
Like, well, also, Rodriguez is normally, you know, working with, like, $15 to $50 million budget.
This was like
probably 150, 125, 150.
Yeah,
and so I'm sure he was nervous the whole time.
I would have been.
And then he had that story where they put out that initial teaser Christmas time, 2017.
This was the best part of the Q&A, because I, like, mind blown.
And he was like, so you realize initially we were supposed to release it last summer, summer 2018. So the studio mm-hmm. comes to him and is like, we need a trailer by Christmas time. And so we all remember that first teaser for Alita.
Yeah.
And how, I don't think I knew anybody who thought it looked good.
None of us did. None of us liked that trailer. None of us did. And my brothers and I, we were talking about, we're like, why the hell her eyes are so damn big?
Well, not just the eyes. The CG as a whole, it looked like a video game character.
I was just about to say, it seemed like it wasn't finished. Alita looked too surreal. It's just like everything about it just looked off. And that's what pulled me away from the movie so quick. Because at first I was like, oh, okay. Like James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez, a pair together? Bet. I'm down for this. And then see the trailer and you're like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then so Robert Rodriguez freaks out and goes to James Cameron, and what does Cameron tell him?
No, wait.
Oh, he says, everybody's complaining that the eyes are too big.
And James doesn't say anything for 3 days. Like, 20th Century Fox says, we got to do something about those eyes. Everybody's complaining about those eyes. And Robert is telling James, hey, so everybody's complaining. And literally, James doesn't say anything for 3 days. And the best thing that he said was, we got to make our eyes bigger.
We got to make the irises 30% bigger.
And everybody's like, what?
He was like, yeah, it's not the eyes that are too big. He was like, the irises are too small.
And everybody's sitting there looking at him like, the hell is he talking about? No, everybody's talking about the eyes are too big. There's no way we could get it done. And James was like, no, irises got to be 30% bigger. And
they Robert was like, but then they do it, and okay, they release the next trailer like a couple months later. And then he tells a story about how everybody online was like, see, I knew it. They just needed to shrink the eyes. And he was like, yeah, we didn't shrink the eyes. We actually made the irises bigger.
And we literally, Johnny and I were talking about this right after the film. And I was like, I agree with what we were saying. It was like, we didn't think he got the eyes smaller. We didn't know what it was. Because I looked at it side by side, the old trailer and the new trailer. I didn't see the eyes like go smaller. It's just something about her eyes just makes it more realistic.
Look better.
Yeah, we were like, something about her just looks better than what we got in the original trailer. And it was literally, he said, add 30% to the pupil.
Like, well, and the other thing he mentioned was, so we saw this last Thursday, the 7th, mm-hmm, and he was like, yeah, this, he was like, you guys realize we didn't, this wasn't in the can. It was not complete until 2 weeks ago.
Like,
which would have been like the January like 22nd or something like that.
Like, they didn't finish all the special effects and anything like that till 2 weeks before they send out all the stuff, like all the reels for everybody to go pull them out. And I'm like, damn, talk about running close to the shot clock. Like, it's just probably the production and the crew wasn't terrible. Like, I'm not saying that they were rushed. I'm not saying that anything like that happened.
Well, that's probably the reason they had to push it. Because originally it was going to be released that same weekend as Aquaman and Mary Poppins
in November. Yep.
And so everybody was like, oh, they're pushing it to get away from those movies. But I guess they just wanted to touch up
a lot of the special effects. And I think that's why it took more time. And I'm happy that they took more time in it instead of rushing a film and just to say, okay, Blind Eye, we're going to put it with all these three knockouts and see if we land one. And it's like, you hadn't, to be honest, the only film you're going to have to compete with this entire month is going to be Lego. And there's another movie that's coming out in February. Actually,
Happy Death Day to You.
Oh, Fighting, yeah, there we go. My there Family. Go. Yeah, there you go. Those three films. And other than that, like, Alita looks like it's going to win the box office.
Because, yeah, you don't have any other action movies until Captain Marvel. So you're going to have 3 weeks of being the only action movie.
Hopefully. And so that's why I was like, I respect that the fact that they didn't do, like, Sausage Party. They didn't do, like, any of these other video games that I played where they rushed the production, mm-hmm, just to get a movie out. And James Cameron was like, no, let's push it back and let's fix it. Let's fix everything that we need to do. And it was a great product at the end.
Then the other thing, we were talking about Rosa Salazar, and I was like, you know, stick a pin in that with what I was saying about her feeling like too much was being picked up by the performance catcher, because basically when the film was done, Rodriguez said he let her like go in the screening, the theater, and just watch it by, she wanted to watch it by
herself.
She
wanted to see herself, yeah.
And then she came out and she was complaining about the way like her mouth was looking in certain scenes. And he was like, well, that was you. Like, that was your performance.
He was like, I mean, that's you. And he's like, I mean, we can't.
He was like, he was like, you don't realize you do that in real life. Like, when you're talking to me and you do like a little smile, that thing happens with the side of your mouth. She's like, oh.
She's like, I didn't know that. Okay. And that's, again, that's how detailed this technology was for this film. And I enjoyed it. And a little tidbit, like, I like just shouting out Robert for saying stuff like this. It's like, at the end of the film, he talks about like there, I mean, at the end of the film, they always talk about there was 100 plus work hours and about 10,000 jobs that were added for the film. And all of those jobs were right here in Austin.
Right here in Austin. Yeah, they were all filmed out of the studios down by 51st. And that's a big deal for a big movie like that.
I was just about to say that for a film that has over $150 million budget, you see, like you said, most of his films are maybe 10, 15, 20 million. And about to say majority of his films were filmed here in Austin, but not something as grand as Alita. And for him to say, like, for him to keep the film here, film everything here, and even still have some of the production designs, because if you look at Johnny's Instagram and Twitter, like, you'll see the photos that he added. Like, literally majority of that is from the production that was right here in Austin. And, like, I really can say, like, I really enjoy that, because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, L.A. has all its things. New York has a few of the products and stuff like that. And now Austin has a little piece of saying, hey, this is our production design and this is what we made here, right here in Austin. And I was pretty excited.
Well, I always appreciate that Robert Rodriguez tries to keep as much here as possible. Like, the last time I think I remember, like, anything somewhat big being here was when him and Quentin did the Grindhouse movies.
Yep.
And then, but outside of that, and a lot of that has to do with the way the state tax breaks for filmmakers.
Yep. The Texas,
they used to offer a lot better tax breaks for filmmakers here in Texas, And so a lot of movies actually moved away, and TV shows moved away from Texas
to Louisiana.
To Louisiana and also Georgia. And that's crazy to think that maybe we could have had the Marvel movies filming here in Texas had the our state government not been
cut the funds and incentives for a film. But hey, you know, all of the MCU movies are filmed right on Tyler Perry's studio lot in Atlanta. Yay.
Well, and that's the thing too, is if you go to the lots down here in Austin,
they're huge.
There's like 9 separate stages and they're big.
They're huge.
Like the Alita experience we were in was only in stage 3. And
there was like a big section of it for just Kansas Bar.
Yep.
And then there was a huge, and literally the entire huge stage, the entire stage is big enough to do the entire interactive with nobody being cluttered.
Nope. And
that's what I enjoyed about our sets. Like, not saying
because there was probably like 60 of us in there, not counting like the actors playing like the people. So there was a lot of people in the space all running around trying to do stuff, and it didn't, like, you weren't scrunched up, you weren't bumping into people. If you had to meet with your team, like, you had space. So it's their big soundstage. I remember the closing night party for Fantastic Fest 2017. They actually did our closing night party at one of the sound stages down there, and we're talking about like 1,000 people, giant party where they just set up all these open bars and like little like pop-up restaurants for people to eat. It's all free at as long as you have badge, closing night parties. All drinks and food are free. And then they had this big sound stage and they had the band playing and everything, and wasn't that cluttered. And then so like these stages are big, and the fact that there's 9 of them here and there's just not a lot of productions, kind of sad.
It was, but like I'm happy that we got a big budget film here in Austin, and we could say Alita was filmed here. So hopefully, when the new sequels come out, maybe the rest of them will be filmed here. So I'm pretty pretty excited for that. That was my last little remark. Besides all the other insight that we got, like that was pretty good insight from Robert. And just hearing the stories, how Robert tells it, from like how he got everything from James to production, you could tell like Robert's just such a cool guy and loves mm-hmm. to just tell stories. So yeah, I enjoyed that Q&A.
Yep, most definitely. Other than that, anything else?
Nothing else. I just recommend, highly recommend, go watch Alita in 3D.
Go watch Alita. Comes out on the 14th. So if you're not going to see one of the lovey-dovey movies, go see Alita.
You can get your love in this film. So even though it's okay, I mean, most of the romantic comedies are okay in love anyway. But besides the point, you can watch it and get your action. Why not? Go see Alita. Go see Alita this Valentine's Day weekend.
All right. And where can the kids find you, Julian?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Julian V. Owens. And where they can find you, Johnny?
Twitter and Instagram at Johnny the Wonder.
All right. I mean, that is all from both of us. Other than that, we're going to do this again in 2 weeks, or...
I mean, we could get back to our regular schedule.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that regular schedule. Let's talk... I don't know what film comes out that we can actually talk about. I mean, unless you do want to talk about
Lego. I mean, once the box office has come out... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, we can talk about Lego. Yeah. Lego, the second part. I'll watch it this weekend so we can talk about it.
And then we can compare it with the other two and talk about that.
Lego Batman and the Lego movie? Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's do that. But yeah, other than that, that's it for me.
All right, later, y'all.